Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
None of us want to be ordinary, right? None of us want to be ordinary. Like when you were growing up and people said, and what do you want to be when you grow up? You did not answer, I want to be ordinary. None of us want to be ordinary, but I think most of us feel pretty ordinary. Yeah, the truth is we dream of being extraordinary. We want to be extraordinary. So I want to ask you just a couple multiple choice questions and let you be honest about your desire to be extraordinary. You can answer each of these questions. Maybe just tell somebody sitting around you your answer, and we will bare our narcissistic souls to each other, okay? So first question, would you rather be extraordinarily intelligent or extraordinarily wealthy? Tell somebody sitting around you. You don't need to know them. Just tell them. Extraordinarily intelligent or wealthy? You should know, smart people usually say money. So there's that. Second question, ready? Would you rather be extraordinarily talented or extraordinarily attractive? Extraordinarily talented or attractive? Tell the person sitting near you, you cannot say, I want to be like Vince, I want both. Hey. I'm just saying. Here's the reality. Most of us are not extraordinary, right? We have pretty ordinary talents, attractiveness, intelligence, wealth. We live in pretty ordinary homes. We drive pretty ordinary cars. We are a lot more normal than we thought we would be. I've got good news. We can live beyond ordinary. Even if we are ordinary, we can live beyond ordinary. What we're talking about in this series is how God helps us to live beyond ordinary. What we're talking about in this series is what takes Christianity beyond ordinary, beyond just a set of beliefs, beyond just a more moral lifestyle. Because what we're talking about in this series is the Holy Spirit. We're exploring who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit should mean to us and do in our lives. And I think maybe I should begin by repenting, because the truth is we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. Why? Well, honestly, some churches get pretty weird about the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to worry you that we're going to get weird, because we're not going to get weird. The series is not going to be weird. The Holy Spirit is not weird, okay? And I am really excited for this series. We're calling this series Ghost Stories because we're studying the Holy Spirit of God, and way back in the day, some people sometimes called the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. So, last week we began this series by talking about a truth about God that people sometimes call Trinity. It's the idea that we learn in the Bible that God is three, yet one. He's one, yet three. God is three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three, yet they live in such a tight-knit, interwoven community of love that they exist as just one God, okay, one God. If you missed last week, if you want to try to understand that a little bit better, you can watch or listen to that message on the Verve online, the website, or the Verve app. So here's a problem that we have in our thinking about God. We tend to think that God is out there, and maybe God is in here, and he is, but God is also in here. God is more than just someone you sing to when you come to church. God is more than just someone you pray to when you're in trouble. God is more than someone you ask to forgive you after what you did on Friday night. God is more than someone you'll see when you go to heaven after you die. God is also a constant companion. God is in here through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some weird, spooky force. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling we get. Like when we sing or when I pray, I get this feeling. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of God and is the part of God that lives inside of people who have invited God into their lives. Okay? All right, it's time for show and tell, or actually today it's show and tell. guess. In this jar, I have something, and I want you, I'm going to count to three in a second, I want you to take a good look at what's in this bottle, and I want you to guess what it is, okay? So I'll count to three, just shout out your guess. Ready? One, two, three. Okay? What this is, I heard a couple of different answers. This is Lake Mead. This is Lake Mead. In case you have not been for a while, I brought Lake Mead to you. Happy 4th of July, everybody! Like, now you can say I spent 4th of July weekend at the lake, right? Yeah. Now, this is not all of Lake Mead, but this is all Lake Mead, right? It's not all of Lake Mead, but this is all Lake Mead. It's 100% pure, undiluted Lake Mead. Listen, if you put your faith in God and invite Him into your life, He literally moves inside of you and your life. You have God in you. Now, do you have all of God in you? No. There is plenty of God to go around. There may not be plenty of Lake Mead to go around, not for long anyway, but there's plenty of God to go around, but you don't have all of God in you, but what you have in you is all God. The Bible teaches us over and over that God comes to live inside of people who invite Him in. 1 Corinthians, we're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen for you. Chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" If you invite God into your life, He will literally come and live inside of you. Now, I want to look at this idea historically. We're going to divide history into two sections, okay? The first section is from the very beginning of time all the way up to the day of Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection. I'll explain what that is. The second period is from that day of Pentecost all the way into the future, including now where we live today. Okay, so the period from the beginning of time to the day of Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection, we could call this period God with us. God with us. Throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, we see God's Holy Spirit with certain people at certain times for certain reasons. For instance, in a book of the Bible called Numbers, chapter 11, verse 25, says the Holy Spirit was with 70 leaders so that they could help Moses lead. In a book called Judges, chapter 6, verse 34, says that the Holy Spirit was with Gideon to give him courage. Judges 13, verse 25 tells us the Holy Spirit was with Samson to give him power. A book called 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 13, says the Holy Spirit was with David to prepare him to become king. So we see during this period that the Holy Spirit is sometimes with certain people for certain reasons, okay, at certain times. We also see throughout this period the Holy Spirit leave certain people at certain times for certain reasons. Like in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, King Saul rejects God and the Holy Spirit leaves him. In Judges chapter 16, verse 20, Samson rejects God. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit leaves Samson. So with certain people at certain times for certain reasons and leaving certain people at certain times for certain reasons. The first period is from the beginning of time, the beginning of history, all the way to the day of Pentecost, okay? I want to show you a day right towards the end of this particular historical period. We find it in a book of the Bible called John, chapter 16. By the way, if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we give them out for free. And so at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place, a place where you can ask questions, get connected, take next steps, you can also get a free Bible. So the context here is that God had come down to live on earth in the person of His Son, Jesus. So remember, God had always existed in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son, Jesus, comes down, puts human flesh on, and lives on earth, which is crazy, right? I mean, that's amazing. God is now living on earth as a person. And in His life, Jesus had invited some people, these 12 guys, to follow Him, to be with Him. And they became His friends, His followers, His disciples. They were with Him all the time, learning from Him all the time. Can you imagine that? Right? I mean, can you imagine getting to be with God all the time? Wow. In John 16, Jesus is having a heart-to-heart with these 12 guys, and he tells them that he's going to be leaving soon. Look at John 16, starting in verse 5. But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. So Jesus says, once he leaves, the advocate will come. Advocate. Well, there's another time where he uses that same word, John chapter 14, verse 26. He said, but when the Father sends the advocate, there's the advocate again, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Okay, so the advocate is the Holy Spirit. All right, so put yourself in the disciples' place for a minute. Your life was very plain. It's very ordinary. And then this one day, your life is interrupted because you meet Jesus and he asks you to follow him. Since that day, nothing has been the same. Like, forget ordinary, because you've been with God. You've gotten to see Jesus do amazing things. You've even gotten to do some amazing things. It's been amazing. And now Jesus is telling you that he's leaving. He's leaving. And not only is he leaving, he has the audacity to say, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. I'm sure they're like, what? What are you talking about? How could it possibly be better if you're gone? How? The answer is, because the Holy Spirit was coming. But why? Why is having the Holy Spirit here better than having Jesus here? It's a good question. Let's think about that. So when Jesus was here on earth, the fact that he chose to live as a person in human flesh involved some limitations. For example, as far as we know, Jesus was never in two places at the same time, right? Because he chose to have a physical body, he was limited by time and space. But the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit can be in an infinite number of places all at the same time. So if Jesus had stuck around forever like the disciples wanted him to, well, maybe he would have done a world tour every year, right? Like gotten shirts made up that said Jesus World Tour on the back. There'd be like the dates and the cities where he'd be appearing. And we live in a very cool city. So potentially, maybe he would have made a stop in Las Vegas every year. He would have been here once a year. And so you could have gone to physically see Jesus once a year, right? Like you'd be driving in your car, it's May, and a commercial comes on the radio and it says, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday at the T-Mobile Arena, Jesus. You'll pay for the whole seat, but you only need the edge of it. Jesus at T-Mobile. And you're like, I'm going. I want to see Jesus. And so you buy your ticket, and the day comes, and you get to see Jesus, but from a distance, right? Like you're sitting up in the rafters, and you're like, there he is. Oh, cool, right? Or maybe that's not the way to do it. Maybe he'd come into town, and anyone who wanted to see him, he would see you one-on-one personally. But there'd probably be like a couple hundred thousand people who want to see him. And he has to go everywhere, so he'd only be here for a day or two. So it'd probably be like you'd walk up and be like, nice to meet you, Jesus. You're awesome. And that would be it, because the next person in line is going to come, right? So maybe you see Jesus once a year from a distance, or maybe for a minute. But because the Holy Spirit is not limited in that way, you can be in the presence of God all the time. Right? Not once a year, not for a minute, all the time. And it's not only that you get more time in the presence of God, it's also that the presence of God gets in you. And yes, it would be cool to have Jesus here, to see God, to shake God's hand, But that is not cool at all in comparison with actually having God inside of you. The Holy Spirit does not make cameos in our lives. He is a constant part of our lives. And that's what Jesus was promising to his disciples. And that's why he said having the Holy Spirit is better. It's better. And that's what happened in this second period of time, starting at this day called Pentecost and continuing to today. We could call this second period God in us. First part, God with us at certain times, at certain people, certain places, certain reasons. Second part, God in us. So Pentecost. Pentecost was a Jewish holiday where people who believed in God would come from all over the world to the city of Jerusalem to offer sacrifices and worship God. Pentecost, so happened, fell that particular year 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. So Jesus lived, he was arrested for claiming to be God, he was crucified, and 3 days later raises from the dead. Pentecost happens 40 days after that. Jesus spends those 40 days with his disciples, his followers, and he's kind of teaching them and training them to prepare them to lead the mission after he goes back to heaven, as we just saw him promise. Look what he says to them during this period in a book called Acts chapter 1. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. So Jesus leaves, he goes back to heaven, but before he does, he explains to them, to do the mission I've given you, you need the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's coming, goes to heaven. And then they wait. They start waiting for the Holy Spirit, and then on the day of Pentecost, it happened, Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Stage 2 of history starts right then. And began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So these normal, ordinary people are filled with God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were not ordinary anymore. And after that moment, our experience of God transitioned from God with us to God in us. We see the Holy Spirit enables these first Christians to speak in other languages that they had never learned. Why? Well, because there were people in Jerusalem for Pentecost from all over the world. Those people spoke the languages of their countries. These early Christians, these first Christians, all were from one place, and they spoke only one language. God wanted them to be able to tell about Jesus to all these people, but they couldn't speak their language. And so God enables them to speak in these unlearned foreign languages so they can communicate Jesus, and so that those people can not only know about Jesus, but they could go back to their countries and tell their people what they had learned about Jesus. So that happens, and then Peter. So Peter was one of those first original 12 disciples of Jesus. He was the disciple who was so terrified about being associated with Jesus because he thought if people think I'm with Jesus, they're going to crucify me just like they crucified him. He was so terrified that when a young girl went up to him and said, hey, aren't you one of Jesus' followers? He said that he didn't know him. He had spent 3 years following him. He's like, I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. That guy who had been so timid and scared but is now filled with the Holy Spirit stands up in the center of the city in front of thousands of people, and he preaches this bold and powerful sermon about Jesus. He just went from ordinary to extraordinary, right? When he's done, thousands of people feel convicted. They now believe in Jesus, and so someone in the crowd shouts out, well, what should we do? And Peter answers in Acts chapter 2, starting verse 38. Peter replied, Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, so the people right there, to your children, and to those far away, that'd be like us, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And then look how they respond, Acts 2:41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. This is a really important story for us because when we hear about the Holy Spirit, about getting to have God inside of us, the question that we should ask is, how? How? How do I get that? Because I want God inside of me, so what should we do? Peter says, now that you've put your faith in Jesus, repent, turn to God, and be baptized. Right? He says, you do that, and here's God's promise. He will forgive your sins, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. Okay? So Peter says, if you want the Holy Spirit inside of you, repent and be baptized. What's repentance? Repent means to turn around. Literally, the word means to do a U-turn, to turn around. So you kind of can think of it like you're driving down the road. All of a sudden, you realize, I am going the wrong way on this road. And so you do a U-turn, so you're now going in the opposite direction, the correct way on this road. And so repentance is this idea that like you're going down the road of life, and you realize, I'm going the wrong way. And so you do a U-turn of your life, and you point your life towards God, and you start moving in that direction, okay? When you do that, you've repented. Peter says to get the Holy Spirit, you repent, and you need to be baptized. What's baptism? Baptism, literally, what the word means is immerse. So like maybe this morning some of you took a donut and baptized it in coffee. That's what the word means. It means to dunk something underwater. And so what happened that day is 3,000 people were all immersed in water. They were lowered into water then raised out of water. Why? Right? That's kind of weird. Why? Well, it's supposed to be a picture of what Jesus did. Jesus lived, and then he died, and he was buried, and then he raised out of the grave to a new life. In baptism, we who have been living a life. We are buried in a water grave, symbolizing a death to our old life without God, and then we're raised up to a new life with God. Because you have faith in Jesus, you repent and you're baptized, and God promises he will forgive your sins and fill you with the Holy Spirit. Now, at this point, sometimes people will ask questions. They'll ask, can I be a Christian without repenting? Can I be a Christian without getting baptized? Can I receive the Holy Spirit without getting baptized? Can I receive the Holy Spirit without repenting? And I would answer all of those questions with a question. Why do you ask? Why do you ask? Because did you notice they didn't ask in Acts chapter 2. Peter said, repent and be baptized. And they did it. Okay, they did. Sometimes people say today, they'll say, you know, I don't think you need to repent and be baptized. I think you just need to believe in Jesus. Or I think you just need to say a prayer to Jesus. Okay, but the Bible says that you have to repent and be baptized. And it says if you do, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And listen, you need the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. The Christian life, this life that God has for you, which is the best life you can live, you can't live it without the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes people will say, the Christian life is really difficult. I mean, you're supposed to not sin at all, and you're supposed to always do good, and you're supposed to love everybody, even your enemies. Christian life is really difficult. No, it's not. The Christian life isn't difficult. It's impossible. No one can live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. So, if you believe in Jesus, you need to repent and be baptized. If you want your sins forgiven, Bible says you need to repent and be baptized. If you want the Holy Spirit, you need to repent and be baptized. If you want to live the Christian life, you need to repent and be baptized. God loves you. And he is head over heels in love with you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to live inside of you, to have that kind of intimacy with you. That's why he sent Jesus. So put your faith in him. Repent. Turn your life around towards God and get baptized. We're doing baptisms here at Verve 2 weeks from today and tomorrow, July 16th and 17th. And you could do that. Like, that could be your day. You could do that. If you want to get baptized or if you have questions about baptism, go back to the Velcro bar after the service. We're actually having a baptism class next Sunday and next Monday. So you could go to one of the three services on Sunday and the class, or you can go to the class and then service on Monday night and so that we can answer all the questions you might have about baptism. So if you have questions or if you want to get baptized, head back to the Velcro bar after the service and they'll hook you up back there. What if you already have? Like, what if you're like, well, I already am a Christian. You know, you have. You put your faith in Jesus. You repented. You got baptized. Well, then, listen, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. Wow. And you might think, that's cool. Then I've got the Holy Spirit, right? Because either you do or you don't, right? Yeah. But no. Yes, it is true that if you're a Christian, you've repented, you've been baptized, then yes, you have the Holy Spirit. But it's not just a you do or you don't. It'd be kind of like someone saying, well, you're either married or you're not. True. But you can have a healthy marriage or an unhealthy marriage. Or someone saying, you either have a gym membership or you don't. True. But you can either use your gym membership or you can neglect your gym membership. So you either have the Holy Spirit or you don't. True. But your relationship with the Holy Spirit, your interaction with the Holy Spirit, your reliance on the Holy Spirit, your submission to the Holy Spirit, that happens after you receive the Holy Spirit. That's up to you, and that's a day by day by day by day kind of thing. Let me show you some Bible verses that teach us this. So all of these verses we're about to read were all written to Christians who already had the Holy Spirit, okay? So like Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. So it's almost like dancing. You can have two people who are dancing together, and they can either be in step with each other, and it's like, man, look how great they dance together. It's like there's one body moving across that dance floor, or they can be out of step with each other, right? Like one of them's dancing, the other one's kind of doing, you know, the any Seinfeld fans, the kind of Elaine. No Seinfeld fans, really? Okay. And so what this verse is saying is, yes, you have the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be in this dance where you're moving together with the Holy Spirit. Keep in step. Here's another one. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this verse is talking about influence. When you're under the influence of too much alcohol, you can make decisions that you never would have made otherwise, right? Typically bad decisions. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will make decisions that you never would have made otherwise. Good decisions. And so this verse is saying, make sure, now that you have the Holy Spirit, make sure you actually live your life under the influence of the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 1 says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So it says, hey, you need to make sure you fan into flame the gift that God has given you, this Holy Spirit that God has put in you. I want to give you a picture of this. And so it's show and tell part two, or part deux for our French-speaking members. I don't know. We probably don't have any of those. So we established this is water. This, I'm not gonna make you guess. This is milk. Okay? So let's just say that this glass of milk represents your life. Okay? Just kind of ordinary, kind of normal. Let's say that this chocolate syrup represents God. Okay? And so when you put your faith in Jesus, when you repent and get baptized, because you've invited him in, God enters your life through the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit is now in you. You have the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you. But my guess is some of you are like, question, like I became a Christian a long time ago, so I guess I've had the Holy Spirit for a long time. I don't feel it. Like I don't feel it. Some of you might say, question, like I became a Christian a long time ago, I've had the Holy Spirit for a long time, I don't see any difference in my life. I really don't feel like my life is any different. Yeah, it's because you have to keep in step with the Spirit. You have to be filled with the Spirit. You have to fan into flame the Holy Spirit. Or we could say it this way, you've got to stir the milk, right? You need to stir the milk. Thank God that's turning brown. This would have been a horrible illustration if it stayed white. Listen, when you stir the milk, you see the difference, right? The chocolate takes effect. And when you get in step with the Holy Spirit, when you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, your life starts to feel different. You feel the presence of God. You see the difference. Other people see the difference. And so the question is, how? How? How do we do that? How do we keep in step with the Spirit? How do we fan into flame the Spirit? Right? I'm going to give you four ways. There's more than four. I'm going to give you four big ones. Ready? First, we obey the Holy Spirit. We obey the Holy Spirit. So we're going to see next week that one of the reasons God puts the Holy Spirit inside of us is to help us know what God wants us to do. He leads us into God's will for our lives. If we know what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, but we don't do it, we are not keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. We are not letting the Holy Spirit influence us. There's another verse about the Holy Spirit in a book called Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live." Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. Interesting, the Bible was written in Greek, translated into English. That word that's translated sorrow, just about every other time it's used in the Bible, it's used to describe the feeling that someone has when they discover that their spouse has been unfaithful to them. So it's like when we give our lives to Jesus, we repented. We decided from now on, I'm going in God's direction. I'm going to do life God's way. We told God when we gave our lives to him, put our faith in Jesus, that we would be faithful to him. God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us be faithful to him. And when we decide not to obey God, we are being unfaithful to him. And it brings sorrow to the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, like a spouse finding out that their spouse has been unfaithful. And by not obeying God, we are not stirring the milk. We just live our ordinary lives. How do we keep in step with, fan the flame of, be filled with the Holy Spirit? First, we obey him. Second, we read the Bible. We read the Bible. So the Bible comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It says that the writers of the Bible, it says, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible is God's message to you through the Holy Spirit. And the more we read it, the more we recognize the Holy Spirit's voice in our lives. The more we read it, the more the Holy Spirit has to be able to remind us of when we need it. The more we read it, the more close we'll feel to the Holy Spirit. You and I have to read the Bible consistently. That's how you stir the milk. And that's why at Verve, we've tried to take away every excuse you might have for not reading the Bible. You might have the excuse, I don't have a Bible. We give them out for free at the Velcro bar. Took away that excuse. You can have one of these Bibles today. You might have the excuse, I don't know what to read in the Bible. That's why in the Bible, there's a reading plan. Look at that. And so it has every day of the year and one chapter for you to read. You don't have to ever wonder again, what should I read today if I'm going to read the Bible? You might have the excuse, but when I read it, I just feel like there's some things I don't understand or I don't know how it applies to my life. That's why we've created the vervecatalyst.org website. And every day, along with a chapter that you're going to read that day, it has notes to kind of explain some things that might be a little confusing and questions to help you apply that chapter to your life. Want me to tell you the best thing you could do for yourself today and probably like maybe this year, and I'm not overstating that. Get out your phone right now. Literally, get out your phone right now, go to vervecatalyst.org, just kind of swipe a little bit to the right, and the top right of that page, you're going to see a place to put your email address. Put your email address. What's going to happen is the only thing, it's like, oh, now I'm going to start getting solicitations for money. No, you're not. The only thing that will happen is every morning when you wake up, there's going to be an email to you from the Verve Catalyst site, your friend, saying today's reading is whatever Ephesians chapter 1. And if you want, you can click on Ephesians chapter 1. It will take you right to that chapter online. So you don't even have to get out your Bible if you don't want to. It's the same thing. And in that email, there will be the background notes and the questions for you to read that chapter. You start getting in a habit of consistently reading the Bible every day. You are stirring the milk and you are fanning into flame the Holy Spirit inside of you. Third, keep doing that. I love seeing that some of you are doing that. Keep doing that. Third, talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit, or I could say rely on the Holy Spirit. Interact with the Holy Spirit. So the deal is the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You are now in a partnership with the Holy Spirit. And the idea is that the Holy Spirit is there to guide and empower you to live out God's life for you. So rely on Him. Talk to Him. When you're feeling tempted, ask Him for strength. Like, hey, Holy Spirit, you're supposed to be here to help me. I need you now. Like, this isn't easy. Help me. When you have an opportunity to do something good and you know you should, but you're tired, you're feeling drained, you just don't want to, hey, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. Come on, let's do this, because I'm not going to do this on my own. Can you help me to do this? Okay? Fourth, do things for God that you could not do on your own. Do things for God that you could not do on your own. Live a life that is beyond yourself, beyond your abilities, beyond your power, beyond ordinary. A life where you are forced to rely on the Holy Spirit because you need the Holy Spirit. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. In fact, I would say this to you. If you're bored in life, if you feel like, and life's kind of routine and boring, I would say that that's probably a pretty sure sign that you are not in step with the Holy Spirit. You're not. I think what happens for all of us sometimes is our desire for comfort and safety keeps us from experiencing the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into things that take us beyond ourselves. And if we're out of step with the Holy Spirit, we won't do it, and we don't need the Holy Spirit, and we'll live our ordinary lives. And so I know I don't want to spend my life doing things that I'm capable of doing. I want to encourage you, choose to do something beyond yourself, something kind of extraordinary for God. Because, you know, the truth is, none of us want to be ordinary. And you don't have to be. I mean, you want to talk about extraordinary, you have right now, or you can have, if you choose, God inside of you. Think about it. That's crazy. Now, I've heard people say, being a pastor, you hear things like this. They say, you know what I wish? I wish it was like back in Moses' time where God spoke out loud to people. How cool would that be to hear God speak out loud to you? Or people will say, you know what I wish? I wish it was like back in Jesus' time, because like how cool would that be to be able to shake hands with God, see God, like God right there with you. In fact, I think sometimes people imagine, like, when I go to heaven, I'm going to find Moses, and I'm going to go up and I'm gonna say, what was it like? What was it like to have God speak out loud to you? Or I'm going to find Peter, and I'm going to say, what was it like to have God, you could see him right in front of you? I get that, but no, that is not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is Moses and Peter are going to run up to you. And they're going to say, what was it like? What was it like to have God live inside of you? What will you answer? What will you answer? What was it like for you to live life with God inside of you? Don't settle for ordinary. You do not have to live an ordinary life. And don't settle for a Christianity that is just a set of beliefs or a more moral lifestyle, because it is way beyond that. It's having God inside of you, directing you and empowering you to live a bigger life, an extraordinary life. Next week, as we continue the series, we're going to learn way more about this. It's going to get more and more practical. Don't miss next week, okay? For now, let's pray. God, thank you so much. You are unbelievable to me. It is really, honestly, hard for me to believe that you love me despite my sin. And not only do you love us, you want to live inside of us. I spend my life half the time feeling so dirty and so unworthy. And here we have this perfectly holy God who says, well, I want to live inside of you. I can take care of your sin. And I want to live in you. I want to live in an intimacy with you and a partnership with you. I want to direct and empower you so you can live a good life and so that you can live an extraordinary life. God, please don't let us miss out on that. What a shame it would be if we get to heaven and people from that first stage of history would say, man, we only had God with us sometimes. What was it like for you to have God in you? And we realize, I didn't really do anything with that. That didn't really change my life that much. God, help us. Help us. I pray, God, for the people in this room who have never said yes to you, that they would say yes, that when this service is over, they go right back to the Velcro bar and say, I want to get baptized. How do I do that? Where is that class? What do I do? That we would say yes to your invitation to move inside of us. And for those of us who have said yes, help us, God, to keep in step with the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to be under the influence of the Spirit, to fan into flame the Spirit. Help us to stir the milk so that we can live the life that you have for us. God, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.